about to deal with on today is really it really won't seem like it has a whole lot to do with resting at all, but if you can hear it, receive it, and apply it, it'll help you. You'll see in the end how it helped you in your rest. Okay, it may not seem like it at first, but it will help you in it. And I'm gonna share this, you know, kind of the way I do. So if by the end of the service y'all get mad at me, y'all forgive me, because I love y'all. I do. I love the church. Thank you so much, son. Thank you. I love the church. I love everybody in the church. Not trying to hurt anybody in the church. And so I will work to deliver it just as pleasant as possible. All right? And I say that because I've learned when I look at it, I see, yes, that's a good word. It'll help me. It'll take you somewhere. But I've learned enough to know that sometimes when you deal with messages like this, even though it's designed to help, some people always get upset. And so I say that up front so that, you know, if people know that I love you, I'm not trying to upset you. I'm really trying to help you. I am really trying to help you. And it's funny because me and my wife were looking for this little clip the other day. She had to help me out, and I couldn't find it, so I had to go back and watch the whole movie just to find it. But one of my wife's movies, you know, one of the movies that she likes is The Wedding Planner with, you know, one of those old J-Lo movies, The Wedding Planner. And I watched that. Anybody ever seen The Wedding Planner before? You know, I know we're in church and some people don't watch movies, I understand. You know, you that saved to God be glory. I watch movies. And so we went back and I was trying to find this clip. I couldn't find it because I had the wrong person making the quote. But we went back the other day and we ended up watching the movie. And so, and it got to my favorite part or my favorite line in the movie. And for those who have seen it, you know what I'm talking about. It's the line where J-Lo's playing the character of Mary, you know, the wedding planner, and she's sitting there with her father. And her father's trying to get her to marry Massimo. And she didn't want to marry Massimo. Massimo was foolish. She didn't want to marry Massimo. Her father was trying to talk her into marrying Massimo. And her father quotes my favorite line in the whole movie. He says to her, he says, maybe you don't like him now, but maybe you might love him later. And that's one of my favorite lines in the movie because sometimes life is like that. And I say that so that as I get this message out to you, maybe you don't like me when I'm delivering it, but maybe you may love me later. After it's all said and done, you'll say, I'm so glad Pastor told me that. And so, Luke chapter 15. Let's start reading this at verse number 11. Hear the story. I'm only going to read a few verses. I'm not going to read the entire story, just a few verses. Verse number 11. Down through 17. Luke 15, 11 through 17. It says, Jesus is talking. It says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'm going to take my topic from verse number 17, where it says that, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I want to talk from this topic today, hungry enough. Hungry enough. Now look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Matter of fact, if you know him well enough, just put your hand on his shoulder and say, friend, are you hungry enough? Yeah. Are you hungry enough? Hungry enough. Hungry enough. Father, we thank you today for your presence, for your power, Lord, for your anointing, Lord, for your people. Today I pray and ask, Lord, that you would be glorified, Lord, in all that is said, all that is done, Lord, and that you will get the glory out of everything. Father, I pray and ask today that you would open hearts and ears and minds, Lord, to hear and receive your word, Lord. We pray today, Lord, for an appetite for you, Lord, for your word, Lord, for an appetite for the things of God. Today I pray and ask, Lord, that your people will be edified, Lord, that they'll go to the next level, Lord, and they'll give you the glory. So today, Lord, we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hungry enough. Hungry enough. Are you hungry enough? Are you hungry enough? Are you hungry enough? Is your neighbor hungry enough? You just asked them a little while ago. I don't know whether they answered you or not, but are they hungry enough? With this particular story, it deals with a young man who has gone to his father. In the beginning, as I read, it said that his father had two sons, a certain man had two sons. This young man, the younger son, goes to his father and he asks him for something. He says, basically, look, Father, I understand that we have something coming to us, you know. I have a portion and my older brother has a portion. And what I want to know is, before you die, will you go ahead and give me my portion now? And so his father agrees to it, and his father gives the younger son his portion. But you got to understand that in order for him to give his younger son his portion, he's also got to give the elder son his portion. And so both sons get their portion at the same time. And so once they've got their portion, once they've got their land, their property, their money, whatever belongs to them, the older son gets more because he is the older son. He gets the older son's portion. He gets the double portion. He gets what comes to an older son. And the younger son gets his portion, which is not as much as the older son's portion, but it's his portion. And that's all he wanted. He was fine with that. He just wanted his portion. But then the Bible says that after he got his portion, it wasn't very many days after he got it, he decided that he would take his portion and leave. It kind of shows something about the attitude of the young man. He probably, we don't know this for sure, but probably, the way we know people, probably had an idea that once he got his portion, he would go anyway. Probably so. That's my opinion of it. Could have been that he got his portion, not necessarily meaning to go, but once he got it, the enemy came and says, you know what, you got all you need now. You got this new money. Why don't you go somewhere, do some things, see some stuff. You know, Pensacola too small. Go ahead and utilize it somewhere. Go to a bigger city. Enemy talks like that when you get your portion. And so, whichever way it was, we see that the younger son took his and he left. And when he leaves, he gets himself into a bit of a predicament, because the Bible says that he goes out and then he begins to spend his portion. Everything that his daddy just gave him, he spends it with riotous living. He spends it with wild living. He spends it partying, having a good time. He spends it on prostitutes is what his older brother said later on when he came back. He spent it doing everything he could do. When you think about it, and you've been in that type of a situation when you got a lot of money and you got a lot of time and you have nobody telling you what you have to do, you'll do a little bit of everything. He's spending his money here and spending it there. He's really going out having a good time. I mean, he's really having a party. So he spends it. His money's able to buy some friends that he didn't have before. Because you know, when you got money, you got friends you didn't have. You know, you got people that will show up at your house that ain't ever been there before when you got some money. Not only that, you get family members that'll show up. Let me just deal with that a minute. When you get some money, you get the family members that you ain't seen in a long time. They'll show up when you get some money. People come out of the woodworks when you got something to spend. They do. And so all of a sudden, he's got all these people. And he's spending money like water. He's putting it out there. Y'all know how people like to do when they get a lot of money. They like to show it. They like to show it on Facebook. They like to go to the mall and spend. They pull it out of wads at a time. They act like they don't know what a bank is. So he's spending it. Spending money here and there. People all around him. But then he spends so much that he spends everything. I don't know what his daddy taught him at home, but evidently it didn't have a lot to do with banking. It didn't have a lot to do with saving. It didn't have a lot to do with putting stuff up. But he spends everything. And he spends it all. It just so happens that when he spends it all, it coincides. It lines up with the exact time that this severe famine hits the land. The Bible didn't just say a famine. He said a severe famine. And so it's just like people to run out of what they need when something bad is coming. Mm-hmm. Now I know we all feel like, Pastor, I didn't plan it that way. I know you didn't plan it that way. None of us planned it that way. We don't plan to spend it all and then something bad come on the scene. We don't plan to do that. We don't plan to spend all our money and then a famine hit and now we can't get what we need. We can't get food. We don't plan to do that. We don't plan to do that. Well, we don't plan to do it unless we don't, in the first place, plan to do it right. Let's say that. But we don't plan for all this stuff to happen at the same time. But I want to tell you that while we don't plan it, the devil does. The enemy already knows that the famine is coming. And if you go back and look at it, you can tell just about the enemy did something to allow this or to cause stuff to happen. And he knew that right about the time he gets this kicked in good, if I can get you to be out of everything you need, I can get you in the right situation. And the enemy orders this stuff. He plans this stuff because he's strategic. The devil is strategic. We don't like to think he is. We like to think he's stupid. And we like to think that he don't know what he's doing. We like to think all that good stuff. But the devil is strategic. He will plan stuff for your life in 20 years now. He'll plan stuff for your life in 50 years now. As a matter of fact, whatever age you are, he had already started planning stuff for your life when you were little. And that's why we grow up and all this stuff starts to happen. Because the enemy had a plan. God has a plan, but then the devil's got a plan. His is always bad. It's always messed up. It's always to get you to a point of lack and a point of famine all at the same time. And then on top of that, away from everybody that you know. From your family. So he strategically set some stuff up. And I want some people to know that he is so strategic. He is organized. And he sets stuff up. And this young man falls right into the trap. Spends it all. There's the famine. And I'm a long way from home. Now what am I going to do? So the young man does something. He goes and he decides he's going to get him a job. Now here's a young man who has been living with his father, who has been working for his father, Y'all know how it is when you're working for dad. They ain't really like working for other people. When you're working for, you know, somebody, a family member, that anybody who's ever worked for their father or their mother or real close with them, working with them and for them is not like working for other people. He's been working for dad. He's been hanging out at the house. He is a son of his father. And so now all of a sudden he's got to do something that he's probably never done before. He goes and he gets up a job. And he goes to work for this man. And the man takes this young man, this young Jewish man, and he gives him a job, but the job just happens to be something that he don't want to do himself anyway. He gives him a job feeding the pigs. The Jewish people and pigs don't mix. So he's got him out doing something that is beneath him, it's low, it's something that he does not want to do, nor should he be doing. It's something that if he was at home at his father's house, he would have no part of. But now since he's out here with everybody else, he's got to do it. Wouldn't do this if I was at daddy's house. But now that I'm out of daddy's sight, I got to do this kind of a job. So he takes the job. He goes and he feeds the pigs. But since there's a famine in the land, y'all know how it is when things start getting bad, people start paying less. You know, and when things are good, you know, you can make $15 an hour, but when things are bad, they may only give you $8.50. And so he's on the job. He's working it. But there's a famine, so he's probably not making much as far as wages are concerned. And now, if that ain't bad enough, the boy is hungry. Because after all, there is a famine in the land, so there's not enough food. And there's not enough money. He spent everything that he really had. So now he's living off of what he gets. He's living paycheck to paycheck. Anybody ever been paycheck to paycheck before? Lord, that's a bad feeling. This paycheck ain't enough. And once I spend it, I got to wait till the next one before I have any money. That's rough. And he wasn't living like that at daddy's house. So he takes the job. He does the job, and he's hungry. And now he's so hungry, and you know that he's so hungry. You know he's not eating because of what happens next. The Bible says that the boy would have, or he wanted to, as he was slopping the pigs. Anybody ever slopped pigs before? Ooh, a lot of people don't want to tell that. Yes, I have, and I don't like it. As he's slopping the pigs and as he's doing his job, he was so hungry that even the pig's food started looking good. Now, y'all got to think about that a bit. Slop. I don't care how you slice it. I don't care how you blade it. Slop is slop. You can put it in a bucket. You can put it in a pot. You put. I don't care what you do. Cook it up in a pan. It's still slop. It's nasty. It's old, it's leftovers, it's rotten, it's stuff that nobody else wanted. It's stuff that other people ate off of but didn't finish, and they put it all together and put it in this little mixture. You know, it's a concoction. It don't smell good. Slop. Some of the stuff that we call slop, because y'all know if you get some bad food and it don't look right, and that may not be nothing wrong with the food, but if it don't look right, you know, people say, that's just slop. But there is actually real slop. And this is what the young man was feeding the pigs. This was his job. And all of a sudden, what the pigs were eating started looking good. It's something when you don't have a choice, you know, between either I can eat the slop or I can eat this steak. There was no steak. There was only slop. And he was hungry. Stomach talking to him. You ever had your stomach talk to you so much till it starts saying stuff like, Shaquana? So much till it starts saying, Calvin, feed me. I'm talking about it starts talking, it's rumbling, it's moving, and you know it's saying something. And if you ain't careful, when you get real hungry, it'll start talking to you in front of other people. It don't care who's around.
especially in the morning time. When your stomach starts talking and rumbling, you don't want nobody else to hear what it's saying, because what it's doing is it's telling on you. You didn't feed me. You didn't feed me. And everybody around you know it. Well, sometimes when people's stomach rumble and I hear it, I'm like, I try not to look at them. And then I'm thinking to myself, I heard that, but I'm trying not to look at you because I don't want you to get embarrassed. And then I've been in a position where mine rumble, I'm like, and you start trying to straighten up and sit different. And don't none of that stuff work, but you think if you change positions, your stomach will shut up, but it won't. You'll still be hungry. Because the only thing that's going to satisfy the hunger is the feed. Your stomach wants something to eat. So he's in a situation where all he had is slop, and his stomach is talking to him. It's not the kind of hunger that we think about. It's past that. It's to the point to where now he's at a place where he's getting sick. And he's getting to a place where he's getting weak. And he's getting to a place where he's actually about to die. Because I'm going to deal with that in a minute. Because you have to watch. Hunger, what we talk about, is more than just missing a meal. It's more than just fasting for 12 hours. It's more than going a couple, two, 3 days fasting. That's not hunger. Hunger changes you. It changes your body. It makes you sick. And it will kill you. So he's in a place where he's hungry to that point. You know, we try to turn the TV come on. We try to get the remote and turn because we don't want to see those little children. Especially if we ain't got enough money to do anything about it. Let's look at something else real quick. He's at that kind of a hunger state. He's needing to do something. And all he has is some slop. So at that hunger stage, that's starting to look pretty good. I know, you know, we don't eat this, but I'm so hungry and people don't understand that I'm about to eat this now. Because I don't want to die. I gotta eat something. I don't have enough money to buy food. Here's how we think. I'm only making a little bit of money, so I can probably keep more money to do some other stuff. If I just eat the slop, I ain't got to worry about buying food. I can use my money to do other stuff I need to do. I mean, I'm not talking about playing. I'm talking about stuff I need. If I go ahead and I eat the slop, then maybe I can buy some toilet tissue. Maybe I can buy some soap. Maybe I can buy some other things. At least I ain't got to buy food because, I don't know, maybe it's slop. I don't know. Maybe God put it here so I can eat it. Maybe God bless me. It's slop. But that's how you start thinking when you get away from daddy's house and in situations when you're going to spend it all and might start playing all kinds of tricks. Man, I'm supposed to eat this. And the boy is at the point where he's about to eat the slop. But the Bible says something next that is so important. And if you can imagine just before, because he thought this thing out, and he probably got him a handful, two hands, because you got to make a cup. And just before he's about to eat the slop, the Bible says that he came to himself. If y'all know how good it feels to come to yourself. You know, in other words, all of a sudden he got in his right mind. Because he wasn't in his right mind when he was about to eat that slop. He wasn't in his right mind there. But just before he eats it, because the Bible says he would have, he wanted to, but it didn't say that he did. He wanted to. I don't know. You never really know. You don't know if he took a taste or not. I don't know. But according to the Bible, he wanted to do it. But before he could get to that point, the Bible says he came to himself. You know, he got a clue all of a sudden. You ever saw somebody you just wanted to go up and just shake them and say, just you didn't get a clue. You're not supposed to be here. And why in the world are you here? I can imagine he probably started thinking, why am I here? Why am I at this point about to eat slop? Came to himself. Why in the world would a boy whose daddy's got enough money to have servants be eating slop?
Right.
Do you know who your daddy is? Can you get a clue? And when we get that clue, that's when we come to ourselves. That's when we realize, wait a minute. He was about to get, and he started thinking, wait a minute. I got a daddy at home, and I know I messed up. I know I sinned. I know I done wrong. I've done all that. He starts admitting it. He starts thinking this thing out and just admit it. I know I have, but you know what? My daddy's got servants. And even the servants that work for my dad eat better than what I'm about to do right here. They don't eat slop. They eat bread, and they got more than enough bread. The servants, you can imagine what the boy has at the house. If the servants have more than enough, my goodness, the servants have more than enough. Have you ever been to a place where the people that work for the people have more than enough? My goodness, what do the people have that are paying the people? He says, the servants have bread enough. He says, and I'm sitting out here. Now watch this. And I perish. I'm sitting here and I'm about to die before my time. I'm a young man. Sure, got a brother older than me. Got a daddy still living. And I'm about to die before my time. I'm about to go off the scene before my time. He came to himself. And not only that, about to perish with hunger. Let me deal with these points for a minute, because there is something that sometimes we just need to get a clue. We just need to figure out once and for all what we're doing. I want y'all to listen to this. The boy comes to himself. And I just described what maybe he was saying. I don't know. Maybe he was thinking. But anytime you come to yourself, you begin to know who you are. Okay? So you got to know who you are. Know who I am in Christ. You got to know who you are in Christ. That'll keep you from eating the slop. Okay? You got to know who you are in Christ, because it'll help you also to understand that, you know what? I'm better than this. I can imagine him being like, I'm better than this. I know I'm better than this. It's not that I think I'm better than anybody else, but I know I'm better than some slop. And I know I'm better than the pigs. And I know I'm better than eating what they eat. I'm better than this. My goodness, I'm better than this. I don't care what anybody else thinks about me. I know I'm better than this. And so coming to yourself helps you to realize, it helps you to recognize that you're better than this. It helps you to recognize who you are in Christ, when you come to yourself, when you really get a clue, when it's like somebody taking you and shaking you, and all of a sudden, you know, snap out of it. You ever seen some people go through some stuff? Or no, let me put, on old movies, sometimes when somebody's real hysterical, especially like on the old westerns and stuff like that, or old comedies, they're real hysterical, they're losing it, and all of a sudden, and then somebody walks up to them and they just, they slap them real good. The ones I like is when they go, they backhand them too. Slap them two times. Sometimes people make you want to do that, because you see them in the spirit, you see them, and they down here at the slop bucket, on the truck, and they're about to do something. Someone got their hand all in it.
Come
you just
on,
want
Pastor.
To go up and slap them across the back of the head.
Come on, Pastor.
Get out of that slop. Don't you know who you are? Don't you know you're better than this? I,
I remember when my daughter was little, they were telling me about it. I wasn't there, but they told me about it happened. And she was riding, they were going with this family. And all the kids were in the van together. And my daughter, Mika, this one little boy, you know, they were friends. But this little boy, he was just messing with it, just playing with it, just messing with it. She didn't want to be played with. And Mika, she always keeps this straight face. Like, you don't know what's going on with him. So the boy was messing with him. And finally she got tired of the boy messing with him. And so she just turned to him from my understanding. And she just slapped him out 3 or 4 times so quick he didn't know what had happened. And his mama was driving and all she did was laugh. Because he needed that. And I think about that slap, I think about 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 times. Something just slap him. Snap him straight, slap. I just slap you. Come to yourself. Do you know that you're better than this? Don't you know who your daddy is? Don't you know that your father in heaven has a whole lot more than what you're currently dealing with, what you're about to eat, or been playing in? Let them play in it if they want to, but you are better than this. Come to yourself. Stop feeling sorry for yourself and stop feeling like you messed up. We all have messed up, but get out of the slop. You're better than this. So it happens when you come to yourself. And then there's the fact that when the boy was down there, the only reason he was going to eat the slop in the first place is because he was hungry. Now, I need to deal with this for a minute because this can work two ways. And I've been talking about it from, you know, a standpoint, and maybe kind of negative because he was hungry and he was about to eat because he was in this place without money, without food. But hunger can work two ways. Hunger can work two ways. Hunger can either kill you, because the boy says, I'm about to perish with hunger. Or hunger can push you to live. All right? So with being hungry, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It depends on what you do with the hunger. All right, we all get hungry. But what do you do when you get hungry? So hungry. Listen to this real quick. Let me give you a definition. Because I want to expand how you're thinking about it. Hunger is a very great need for food. I think we got that. When a person is hungry, they have a great need for food. Hunger is a severe lack of food. Okay, hunger is a severe lack of food. Hunger is also an uncomfortable feeling in your stomach that is caused by the need for food. That's what a lot of us related to. Hunger is also a strong desire. Oh. Hunger is a strong desire. Hunger is a strong desire for something or to do something. So it can work both ways. And so hunger, it'll either kill you or it'll cause you to live, depending on what you do. And so the boy's hungry. He's about to eat the slop, but then he comes to himself. And so what happens in his situation of being hungry, instead of him taking the slop, he decides to get up and go back home to dad's house. Starts working out his plan on what he's going to do. Hunger will push you to find some food. You ever been hungry? And I'm talking about our kind of hunger now, where you know it's you want some food in your stomach. You ever been hungry? And all of a sudden, you know, you there ain't nothing there to eat, or there may be nothing where you are, and all of a sudden you get up and you get in your car or whatever, you take your drive to go find you some food. Because when you get hungry, you'll get up and you'll go find you some food. Okay? Because if you don't, it gets worse. And if you never eat, then you do nothing and you die. You get up and you go get you something. And so hunger will push you. It's got this pushing mechanism about it. That it'll push you to go and find you something to eat. You can let it go for a while, but you can't let it go very long. Some people can go longer than other people. Some people, when they get hungry, they know they need to eat within the next hour or so. Other people, when they get hungry, they may be able to eat four hours down the road. But it'll push you. It's got this thing about it that pushes you to get up and go find some food, to find something to eat. Now, I want to deal with it from this standpoint, because I'm talking about being hungry. I'm talking about food and the stomach and all that. But I need to flip a little bit, because it's not just about the person that is about to eat the slop on that level, so they need to come on back to daddy's house. It ain't just that. It's also people that have hunger for things, the things of God, and they're just sitting there just like this boy. See, we thought it was someone, it was people who don't, because everybody thinking, who don't know him? They ought to know better. How do you get in that situation? They're not the only ones. There are other people that are hungry for stuff, but they ain't moved yet. Hungry for the things of God. Hungry for more. Hungry. You got this hunger for better this or better that. The things of God. And it is that. If it don't take you and push you to something, you just kind of die where you are. I'm just passing you by, moving on, and you're just stuck in one place. And eventually, that desire just go out. Just fizzle out. If you don't do something with it. So it's designed that it pushes you. When a person is really hungry, when a person is on the job and they're hungry, some things they do, it means that they want that next place. They want that next position. I'm using a job because most of us know about the job. I want that next place. I want that next position. I see myself being right there. So when you're hungry, you do some stuff to get right there. Hungry people figure out how to get there. If they're hungry enough, their hunger will push them to that place. There's some people who say, I just ain't hungry enough. And so they won't move. If the boy wasn't hungry enough, he wouldn't have ate the slop. He wouldn't have had his hands in it. But when he got hungry, he thought about it. And so, hungry people who want more, they're characterized like this. And think about it like this. There's some words, and I saw, you know, in the spirit, like putting a cap on, all right, like putting on a cap. Everybody know that cap that President Trump always had on, you know, on the campaign trail? Most people don't like that cap, because, I mean, really, the cap don't look good. But I thought about cap. Not a fancy, glamorous hat. Just cap. Because the words I'm about to give you, one starts with a C, one starts with an A, and one starts with a P. And these things are really evident in people that are hungry. So a hungry person, when you get hungry for something more and something better, these things start happening. You start to have a curiosity. In other words, you want to keep learning. Some people don't care to learn anymore. They're fine with where they are and what they know. They think they already know everything. They don't want to know nothing else. They don't care. They don't learn nothing else. They don't go to school. They don't do nothing. They don't take no classes. They ain't going to take no online. They're not walking to the class. They're not driving to the class. They're not taking no online class. They don't want to know anymore. They don't want to learn anything different. What I know how to do is fine. I just want to do this till the day I die. And if that's how people are, then that's fine. If it's fine with them, it's fine with me. Me and Alicia Cree were talking, and this came up again on yesterday, because she has this thing where, boy, she likes the people to know. She likes the people to do better. She loves the people to do better. And I do too. But where we differ is in our approach, because she likes people to do better so much, she will push you and push you and push you. She'll push you with everything in her, and I'll do that too, but she'll push you till it hurts her. She'll push you till she wants it more than you do. She got that kind of push. She'll push you so much till she'll get mad and frustrated her own self if you don't get it and if you don't do it. And that's a good thing for her. That's how she's made up. And so I just always tell them, I said, babe, I said, you gotta pray, you gotta work, but you got all this kind of stuff. Because I can go down a list over the years of people. I'm like, my goodness, she worked with people, she helped them. Now don't get me wrong, because I got a list too. But the way we do it is different. And I would tell her, I'd be like, sweetie, I said, babe, you want more for them than they want for their own self. I mean, when you start wanting it more than they want it, it'll frustrate you. So we always would have this talk. And what I would always imagine, because I felt myself getting to that point before too, but what I always imagine is you look just like Moses right now. You're about to hit that rock and God told you to speak to it. Don't you do that. Because there is a point where you push people and you push them and you want them and you lead them and sometimes they just don't want to go. Everybody ain't hungry like that. So when you start wanting more for them than they want for themselves, it'll make you tired. It'll make you frustrated. So I always tell them, baby, you want more for them than they want for themselves. And then vice versa. I work with people and I always see myself getting that point. When I get that point, I'm thinking, remember Moses? He didn't go to the promised land. He saw it, but he didn't go. Because he struck the rock when God told him to speak to the rock. He struck the rock because he got mad and frustrated. Because he's trying to take somebody somewhere and take them a certain way, and then he won't. So he got mad. So always think about that. So our approaches are different. You have to have a curiosity. You know, if you're a hungry person, you're going to have that curiosity. You have to want to learn more. You ever see something and all of a sudden you want to know more about it? How does that work? How do they do that? Sometimes it's people with, you know, technology and stuff. Sometimes it's people with the workings and putting things together. Some people, it comes with the things of God. It's things in the spirit. Sometimes people come to church and they say, you know, I hear them teaching and preaching. How do they do that like that? Some of y'all have that. You start wanting to know more. So you start inquiring. You get curious about stuff. You start asking questions. That's a hunger. You start making phone calls. There's some people here right now. Quite a laugh because I'm thinking, Lord, they'll start, shoot. They don't care. They'll call you or they'll come find you. And I love that because I know the curiosity. They're hungry. Some people, they'll come to church, sit down, get to work. Soon as I close, they out the door. I just like, just ain't hungry. I don't know. Either one is fine. But are you hungry enough? Is my question. The only person that knows that for real is you. It's a thing that's between you and God. And God will start to reveal it to other people. You know, if you are. And so curiosity, that's the C. All right? Now the A is ambition. You have to watch this word because ambition can get you messed up. You know, sometimes we say people are ambitious and it's not a good thing. All right? It has to be in the right way. Now, ambition is an appetite for what's next. That's all it is. Simplified. It's, you know, it goes beyond just your continuing to learn about stuff, but you want to know what's next. Okay, after this, then what? And hungry people want to know what's next. And hungry people try to get to what's next. Some people don't care what's next. But there are some that want to know what's next. And then, you know, you have to start to try to make sure you let them know what this is what's next. Because they're going to try to do all they can to get to the next thing. All right? So there has to be an ambition. It's not being ambitious to where, you know, you want the next position and you want the next job and you want the next title. So you're going to do anything you can to get it.
Not that foolishness. But it's wanting to know what's next. It's an appetite for what's next. Remember, we're talking about hunger. Are you hungry enough? Do you have an appetite for what's next? Some people are good with what's now. They don't want to know what's next. That's why some people don't like when things change in church. That's why some people leave church and go to another church where stuff don't change. That'd be fine. As long as something doesn't change, I'm good. But if you start changing, because they're not looking for what's next, they're good with just how it is. But I've learned, serving the Lord, that there's always the next. There's always another step. There's always another level. There's always a next. So the A is ambition. So curiosity, ambition, and the last one is P. It's passion. It's passion. Passion. Hungry people are passionate. In other words, they love what they do. You ever see somebody, they love what they do? I'll be honest with y'all. I can tell when a person loves what they do versus when they're just doing a job. There's some people, they love what they do. They love what they do, and you can tell them about what they do because they start telling you all about it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's always in a good way. It's they tell you about doing this thing. Sometimes people that are passionate will, they'll get on your nerves sometimes because they like to talk about stuff in detail. Like, get on into it. I'll tell you what I do. You know, I was one of those people. I was kind of passionate about everything, still, about security. People start talking about, I started talking about security stuff, and I started going all in detail and tell you what I do, tell you what I do, this and that, and all. And I knew everybody didn't want to hear. But I didn't care. I was passionate. So I tell you about it from the standpoint of what I do and how I do it, and, you know, what we did today, what we're going to do next, and this is what I would get all into it. Because I understood it on another level. It ain't about just watching doors and watching people and kicking people out. It's more than that. It's about creating an atmosphere. I would, boy, I go all into it. I take it all the way into the government levels. Passionate about it. That's why I met some governors. I was passionate about it. We couldn't stand it for it. Passionate. And you meet somebody and they get passionate about what they do. They love what they do. Some people love what they do. Some people just have a job and they can't stand it. But some people love what they do. You can put some people on a job and you can give them a mop and a bucket, not a slop bucket, a mop bucket. And you give them that mop and that bucket and they'll go along. They'll be mopping that floor. They'll be making up songs. They'll be writing poetry in their head. They'll be making sure that the floor is done a certain way. It's got to look a certain way when they get through. They'll do it in sections or whatever they got to do. It'll have a certain shine on it. It'll be so much to the point if you walk across it and when you step wrong, you're breaking it. Say passionate about it. And they'll tell you all about it. They'll tell you about the shine they put down there, how long it takes to do it. They'll get all into it. And you start realizing this person's got more than a job. They just really love what they do. And you can't mess with a person like that. Other people, you give them that mop and that bucket, and they go, don't even get the mop all the way wet. Didn't wash it out before they brought it out, and so they mop it everywhere, and it smells like a slop bucket while they mop it because they don't care anything about it because they're not passionate about it. It's just a job. And there's a difference. They're not hungry about this. They're not trying to go to the next level in mopping. They don't think there's another level in mopping. But you put that other guy on there, he'll be like, see, if I do this, I'll be owning this company, and we'll have these contracts, and then we'll even get into the government business. The difference. Okay? Are you hungry enough? Hungry enough. Are you hungry enough to live or let it push you to life? Are you hungry enough to die? This is what you had in 2018. We have to be hungry enough. So let me wrap this up with this. The young man He's a hungry man. And he comes to himself. Hunger calls him to make some decisions.
He decides, going back to his father's house, he starts rehearsing what he's going to say. He's going to tell his daddy that he has sinned against heaven. I'm sinning against you, I'm sinning against heaven. He's already made up in his mind that I'm not worthy to be a son anymore. But I'm okay with that. Just hire me. Just make me a servant. I'm fine because servants do real good. You know, don't do as well as a son, but they do real good. So he's all set to do that. And he's got his stuff rehearsed out. And so he's going to tell his dad this. But before he ever gets to the house, you have to watch this line of thinking. He knew where to go to satisfy his hunger. Because hungry people, if you're really hungry, you've got to, I'll go further than that. If you're really hungry, you know where to go to satisfy that hunger. Some of us got favorite restaurants. And we know if we really get hungry, we go to this restaurant, they're going to have just what we want. They're going to fix it the way we like it. The food's going to be just right. The service is going to be good. I can't stand restaurants with bad service. Good food and bad service equals I don't want to go there. Now, that's me personally. We got some restaurants in the city that I go to when other people request it. But me by myself, I won't go because the service is bad. The food is good, but the service is bad. And we got places that we go when we get hungry in the natural. Well, likewise, there are places that you go when you get hungry in the spirit. Now, sometimes it's locations, sometimes it's churches. You know, you can take it on that level. People know where to go when they want a word, when they want to hear from the Lord. Also, it's beyond that, though. It's also knowing that you can go to your father's house. Daddy's house. See, that's coming to the Lord in such a way that you know that he can fix everything that you couldn't fix. He can satisfy everything that's in you that you could not satisfy. No people can do it, but you know that your Father in heaven can do it. The boy knows where to go. He goes back to his daddy's house. And you have to know where to go. If you're a hungry person, you have to know where to go to get satisfied. If you don't know where to go, you'll end up going to the wrong spot. If you don't know where to go, you'll be hanging out with the wrong people, trying to get them to lead you. If you don't know where to go, you'll waste time. And I believe that there are people, you know, that have wasted time. This is all over our city. I believe there are people who have wasted time because if they just go back to God and say, Father, here I am. This is what I've done. This is what I did. We need to fix it. And he goes back to Daddy's house knowing that there's bread enough. So if you're hungry enough, your Heavenly Father has bread enough. Man, bread, all it is the Word. It's the Word of God. That word will translate into food if you need food in your stomach. It'll be peace in your mind. That word will be a good relationship. All of that. He's got it. And so he goes to his father's house to get satisfied. Hungry people in 2018, if you really want to satisfy your hunger, because I know there are some people that are hungry. Let me tell y'all what I sense in ministry. There are some people that want to know more about the Lord. They want to do more for the Lord. There are people that want to be excellent for him. There are people that want to serve other people. And y'all get this word, serve. They want to serve. They want to serve God, and they want to serve God's people. There are some hungry people. But don't y'all get it twisted. Not everybody is hungry. Some people don't care nothing about serving. But there are some that do. And so I want every hungry person to get it in their heart and in their mind. 2018 is the year that I'm hungry enough to live. The Lord said in the word, Jesus said, he says, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. There's having life and then there's having abundant life. When you really get down to it, it's all, you really, he says abundantly with an L-Y. It's like the way you have it. There is a way to satisfy that hunger, that desire for the things of God. But God is calling people. And this year, it is a time that you got to get serious about your work, your walk, your relationship with God, because it is about satisfying that hunger that you have. Nothing else will do it. Only being with him will do it. So in this year, you know, I've made up my mind. I'm looking. I'm like, who's hungry? Who always hungry? I started to see something. I said, I'm hungry. I made up my mind. I'm going to work with those that are hungry. If they're hungry enough, I'm going to work with them. I'm going to pray for everybody. I'm going to love everybody. I'm going to be nice to everybody. But it's like Jesus when he went to certain levels. You know, we talked about it when he went to certain things. Sometimes he dealt with the 70. And he sent them out. And they had to go out and the 70 had to go and prepare. He sent them out. You know, he gave all these instructions, you know, they don't see the shake the dust off, you know. He sent the 70 out so that they could get the area ready for his coming and coming to the town. But then there were times that he dealt with 70, he just dealt with the 12 disciples. And he'd always bring the 12. The 12 would go with him. They would follow him. When he went from town to town, the 12 would always go. They were always there. You know, it's a difference between the 12 and the 70. It's a difference. Some people just there to see miracles and see what happened next and all that. Like that feeling, and then they're gone. Other people, they'll talk about it when they're gone, but that's, no. But other people say, I'm going where you go. Wherever you go, Lord, I'm right there with you. And so I'm like, Lord, where are the 12? Where are the 12? 2018, I'm ready to work with the 12. But then, they got the 3. But out of every 12, you got those that they'll follow you everywhere. But when you get to certain points, there's a place that, all right, I love all 12 of y'all. But 9 of y'all can't come in here. I got room for 3. And I can take these 3 a little bit further. Because the 3 ain't gonna laugh at you and talk about you when you get ready to raise Jairus' daughter. You know, the 3 going to be praying with you. And if you say she's asleep, I say she's asleep. Ain't the 3 going to do that. The other 9, I've been talking about, Lord, have mercy, he got us all of you over here. What if you're dead? So you have to leave them 9 outside. They'll go with you, but you got to leave mine. you take Peter, James, and John inside. So I made up my mind. Lord, start to look for those 3. Are those 3 here yet? And then there are times when you can't take anybody. It's just you and the Lord. And that's something that every leader has to know and learn from ministry. So in 2018, this is what we're doing this year. I'm trying to find out who's hungry for this year. Who's hungry enough for 2018? I'm not trying to live on the leftovers of 2017.
Come on.
Who's hungry enough to go to their daddy, our father, It's 2018. Here I am, Lord. Are you hungry enough? Are you hungry enough to live? Are you just hungry enough to die? I'm looking for people that are hungry enough to live. So, I want you to reach over and take your neighbor by the hand, because I'm going to pray. And while you're holding that hand, you better ask him again, because you're linked up with him. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but this is too important. While you're holding that hand, you might want to look at him and ask him again, are you hungry enough?